Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us as we talk about the politics of this particular day, both here in Oregon and across the country, in fact, across the world here on Political Coffee, because it makes a difference. Yeah, it makes a difference in your world. In fact, we do this in a way that we hope helps you change your world, whatever your world is, because you know people who are on the political fence, no doubt, because we all know people like that. That's your opportunity. It's your opportunity to help, well, help them, guide them to the water so they can take a drink. You know, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That's really true. And in this case, we want you to help people get to that place where the light bulb goes on in their head and they, like the horse, choose to drink, choose to change their political viewpoints. It's a complex thing. It's not an easy thing, but it's critical. And right now we're seeing it play out in our world in many ways. I've got a lot of things to talk about today, and we're going to get right into it. But I want to give you the phone numbers. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails always to Jeff at 1220.am. Now, here's an interesting thing for you. What if I told you that there's already been a Supreme Court decision that basically says any ballot that comes in after the deadline of midnight on whatever election day there is null and void. Now, I found this little nugget as I was perusing some comments about what's going on in Georgia, and also about what, and I'm going to get into that because, you know, I'm a former state legislator. I served 8 years in the House of Representatives, as most of you know. And what's interesting about this is always the inside baseball stuff, how things happen, how things get done, the sausage making that, believe me, will just drive you crazy sometimes, as it did me when I served. At any rate, I want to tell you a little bit of a story here about what's been going on behind the scenes in Georgia. And you're not going to like it, but it's fascinating stuff. But I saw this little piece that I have not yet been able to verify. And it's from a piece of the Texas filing yesterday, which the U.S. Supreme Court, as you know, has agreed to hear. And it is a quote from part of Texas Attorney General Paxson's actual filing. Here's the quote. Today's situation update covers the bombshells now being catapulted into the election battle, with a legal analyst revealing that the U.S. Supreme Court has already ruled in 1997 in a case called Foster versus Love that all, here's the money quote, listen, that all ballots received after midnight of election day are null and void. Now, I need to verify that that language is actually in the Texas lawsuit, or most of it is. But if that's the case, then this Texas lawsuit is, as Jordan Seculo said on Newsmax, this is the end-all be-all. Now, it is, if you listened to Mark Levin yesterday evening, and I hope that you did, it wasn't particularly positive. His his comments on the what's going on in with the U.S. Supreme Court, Judge Alito and others, just simply saying the Pennsylvania lawsuit brought by the congressman, not the Trump campaign, but that they denied the injunction. They did not deny the lawsuit. Now, for those of you who maybe don't remember how injunctions work, they're a little tricky. I've been involved in one. Yeah, just one. I've been involved in several lawsuits, but this is the only one that involves an injunction. Here's the deal with an injunction. For a judge to grant an injunction, and I'm going to tie this into a possible special session in Oregon that Kate Brown might call, which is in the news, by the way. Well, here's the deal. You don't get a judge to grant an injunction, which stops everything, whatever you're asking the injunction to stop. You don't get that unless the judge thinks, or the judges think, that you have a strong case and that you are likely to win the underlying lawsuit. You have to have an underlying lawsuit first, and then you ask for an injunction. You don't get the injunction unless the judges think you're probably going to win. That's that simple. Now, that's the conventional thinking. Mark Levin went through this long thing. In fact, there's a story out there about the Daily Wire has about Ted Cruz's rebuke of the Supreme Court for not following through on the injunction request. Now, Levin and Ted Cruz, and maybe this is how it works, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, don't play one on the radio. But I'll tell you this, that they're saying it basically means they're not going to follow through on the lawsuit. But, you know, there's other people saying, well, much of what is, not all, but much of what is in this Pennsylvania case that was rejected, or the emergency injunction that was rejected by the high court yesterday, much of that is all wrapped up in the Texas lawsuit, which the court agreed to hear. And that they have till Thursday, the Liberty Daily, which, by the way, is a great resource. If you're looking for a Drudge Report replacement, this is it. And it looks a lot like Drudge Report, too. They have till Thursday. The Supreme Court orders these four states that were sued, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and which is the Michigan, to respond by tomorrow. Now, apparently a bunch of other states, like seven other states, have jumped in, and there may be more coming along. But my point to you is this. The Supreme Court may have chosen to not do, to grant the injunction because they're going ahead with the Texas lawsuit. That may have been the reason why. I'm willing to accept that. So when, I don't know if you felt the way I did yesterday, but when I first heard, in fact, I think I was watching Newsmax as I was getting ready to walk out the door. And by the way, I've been watching Newsmax a lot instead of Fox. If you saw yesterday that Greg Kelly, and by the way, Greg Kelly's show yesterday, I watched it as a podcast last night on YouTube. It was fantastic in terms of laying all of this out on the Pennsylvania lawsuit and the Texas lawsuit. It was fascinatingly good. Greg Kelly's show beat Martha McCallum at Fox News for the first time ever. I'm watching Newsmax. By and large, I'll occasionally flip over to Maria Bartiromo for the business side of stuff because she's very, very good and very, very strongly engaged. Like she had Michael Flynn on this morning. He was talking about this lawsuit. And but I'm telling you, folks, something's going on. Trump said this 2 days ago. I watched this also. You know, when he gave the, or maybe it was yesterday, I don't know. It's when he gave the wrestler the Medal of Freedom. He said the next couple of days are going to be, I'm just paraphrasing, something to behold. Look out. Something's coming. And General Flynn said it again this morning. Something similar. In fact, he said, in a response to a question from Maria Bartiromo, on a scale of 1 to 10, do you think President Trump is going to pull this out? Flynn says unequivocally, he's going to win. On a scale of 10, it's going to be a 10. Okay. You know what that tells me, friends, is that there's some other thing that Trump and Flynn and so forth know. They know something. They have some kind of, pardon the pun, Trump card up their sleeve. What would it be? I don't think they're going to declare martial law and declare that the election was null and void. I don't see that happening for a number of reasons. Okay, I just don't. I know some of you do, but I don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but okay. But I think there are other things. I think the seizing of assets, which under that 2018 executive order, he has the ability to do. He could go in and seize the assets of any of these companies in America that are involved in this vote fraud. But you have to show that there is some vote fraud, folks. Now, what I'm understanding, and again, maybe if some of you know something different than I do, and if you do, let me know. But what I'm understanding is all of these federal lawsuits, the Kraken lawsuits, none of the evidence has been allowed to be presented. None of the evidence that Sidney Powell says she has been allowed to be presented. None of it. Because judges have dismissed it. At some point, the judges in the appellate court level or the Supreme Court level are going to have to see some evidence. Now, and again, if the Trump campaign, their forensic team, has evidence of these machines that they've examined out of Antrim County, the machines that apparently are being, at some point here, forensically examined in Georgia. Oh, by the way, did you see another Georgia county says they cannot provide certification? It's a story in the Gateway Pundit. Another one. Because you can't rely on the machine count. They are sticking with the hand count. Now, it's a small county, but my goodness. There's something else. They can't duplicate the results in their voting machines. That doesn't give you much confidence, does it? And it shouldn't. Bottom line, friends, is this. Something's going to happen. Mark my words. The president said the next couple of days are going to be bombshell days. Again, I'm paraphrasing here. So what is it that is going to happen? What do you want to see happen? Now, the reason I'm bringing all of this up again is we're actually working to find an opportunity, and some of you have reached out to me, and I thank you for that. Find an opportunity to do a hand audit of a particular race here in Oregon, because the voting machines, the tabulation machines used, apparently are using the same software as in Georgia and Michigan. 6:20, back in a moment. I've got lots more. Let's get started. Don't go away. Love is a battlefield. We are strong. No one can tell us where
call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Welcome back, friend. Great to have you with us. I'm still researching this story, by the way, here about Foster versus Love, the U.S. Supreme Court decision from 1997 that says basically any ballots received after midnight of election day are null and void. Now, if that's the case, Trump's the winner, folks, by truly a landslide. Now, this Georgia county, the story here is that this Georgia county cannot And by the way, Missouri is the latest state now to join the Texas in this lawsuit against Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. There probably will be more. But this Georgia county cannot certify their election results from the recount because they can't duplicate the results on the voting machines. Now, is that happening here in Oregon? Do we even know? This is one of the reasons why, along with Representative Mike Nierman, I am going to try to put together this group of people. And if you want to be a part of that, send me an email to jeff@1220.am to forensically examine not the machines, but do a hand audit, not just a recount, but a hand audit of the 2018, not the 2020, the 2018 ballots, because they're about to be destroyed. That's what happens in Oregon. By Oregon law, you got to keep them for 2 years. And we're going to do it in a particular race. And we're going to do it in a particular county. See if the voting system software, Polk County, ESNS, which uses Smartmatic, to see if the same little Georgia county that cannot certify because the vote tabulation machines cannot give them repeatable after several recounts through the machines, they can't get the same result. I wonder if that's happening here. I wonder if it's happening in Oregon. How do we find out? We do a hand recount and you do an audit. Was everybody that voted, were they eligible? Did dead people vote? By eligibility, were they living within the county? Were they living within the state? Were they of voting age? Were they illegal aliens? Did dead people vote? You see, none of that is ever looked at unless there's a challenge. Now, the reason we do 2018 is because that's less threatening to a county. And we would simply do the hand audit. And then we would look at what the machine said, just the recount numbers. See, in Georgia, they can't even just do the recount numbers correctly. That's what's so frustrating here. That's why they said they will only certify. They will only certify. In fact, their letter, which you can see online, is Coffee County. They said that they're going to go with their election night numbers, not the numbers from the machine, because they can't get it to repeat. Is this happening in Oregon? There are some other things going on that don't necessarily, the Georgia Senate is in a real fight. And the backstory of that is what's interesting, folks. The backstory is this. Lynn Wood was on Steve Bannon's show yesterday and talks about how the Senate needs 29 votes to call a special session. The state House is run by a guy who said if the Senate acts, they'll act. But then they had a meeting last night in the Senate. 20 of the 29 Republican senators they needed were ready to act. But the Lieutenant Governor, Jeffrey Duncan, came into this meeting and he browbeat and bullied the senators. He told them they'd lose their committee chairmanships, that they would have no authority under his rules in the new Senate. And he beat them down to where 8 of them dropped out. So now they're only down to 12. And then the Speaker of the House, whom Linwood calls corrupt, said, well, if Senate's not going to do it, then we're not going to do it. So why would the lieutenant governor, a Republican, Jeffrey Duncan of Georgia, why would he be going in and threatening senators to not hold further hearings on this in a special session or to change the electors? Why would he do that? Is he part of the corruption? Along with Brad Raffensperger, according to Lynn Wood. And how do you fix this? How would the people rise up? Well, I'll tell you how you fix it. It's pretty simple. You start a recall campaign against each and every one of these people. Against the governor, against the secretary of state, against the lieutenant governor, and against every one of these Republican senators who's afraid or who bowed to the bullying of the lieutenant governor. That's how you do it. Because that is the thing that puts the fear of God in an elected politician, is that the people might rebuke them more than anybody else, that they lose their power, they lose their office and the status of it because they were recalled. Nobody wants that. I can tell you from personal experience, I never had a recall announced against me when I served in the House of Representatives in Oregon, but I can tell you that I know of others who have had, and I've been part of recall efforts, and nobody wants it. It's powerful. So my advice to you, citizens in Georgia, start recall petitions for all of them. 6:30 in the morning. Oh, I got more. Liz. Oh, do I have more? Back in a moment. Don't go away. No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. Yeah, reading this law professor's piece in Natural News, which actually is a reprint of an article that he wrote, I think, on the 27th of November. It's Ren Jander, and is the postemail.com. Yeah, it explicitly says in Foster versus Love in 1997 that, yeah, the election, any state that has not concluded that there is a successful winner at midnight, that entire election, for president anyway, is null and void. And it has, I mean, it's a very long piece, and I got through the salient points of it, but I think this is true. If that's true, the Supreme Court has no choice but to throw this out. The precedent is Foster versus Love. It was about a U.S. Supreme Court decision on Louisiana. It was a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court decision. It struck down the Louisiana statute as it was preempted by federal code 3 U.S.C. sub 1, and therefore in violation of the Constitution's plenary grant of authority to Congress to determine the time of congressional elections. There can be no additional vote counting after midnight, folks, according to this decision. Now, we'll see how this turns out. But if that's true, then things are dramatically changing here, and pretty quickly in all of it. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. In a moment, I will start on the phones. But this is powerful. There's also some other things going on here. Some of them in Oregon. There is this fear that Bill Post has talked and written about this law that was passed by the legislature that gave the governor broad powers in Oregon, even broader powers, to use an emergency designation to call a special session without quorum requirements. Now, I think that's a stretch, and that's why I talked at the earlier part of the show about this whole idea that you can look for an emergency. You can ask a court after you file a lawsuit for an emergency injunction. That is what would have to happen, because in this case, the rumor or the fear is that Kate Brown would declare a public health crisis from COVID-19 and therefore suspending the quorum requirement, which means Republicans could walk out all day long. It wouldn't matter. Democrats could do whatever they wanted. They could take away your Second Amendment rights. They could curtail your First Amendment rights. They could pass all kinds of new taxes, and you or the Republicans couldn't do anything about it. That would and should be a frivolous use of the law and should be challenged in federal court, where you have a chance, because you will have no chance in the Supreme Court of Oregon. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Got one line open, not toll free. That's back to my old days on another radio show years and years ago. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Don't be discouraged, folks, by what you're seeing. Don't. Trump said something big's going to be happening in the next couple of days. He's right. Something is. I don't know what it is for sure, but I'm telling you, with Michael Flynn being on Marita Bartiromo's show this morning on Fox Business, I'm telling you, they know something we don't. And that none of this evidence, the Kraken evidence that Sidney Powell's got, none of it has been heard in court yet, because they haven't got that far. They have real forensic evidence. Man, that's what we need. In any event, if the Foster versus Love U.S. Supreme Court 9-0 decision apparently is part of the Texas filing in this Texas lawsuit, if the Supreme Court looks at that, wow, that blows it all up, folks. It means that all of the counting after midnight is null and void. So it doesn't matter how many ballots came in and were counted after they stopped counting at 3 a.m. in the morning in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Georgia, in Nevada, in Arizona. It's all null and void. We'll see. We'll see if this is the direction it goes. That ought to give you some hope. All right. So before I go to the phones, I have to tell you that I'm pleased to tell you, by the way, that I use Pro Bioscience CBD because it works for me. Maybe it'll work for you. The relief it gives me on some of my sore muscles from some of the things that I do, working out and other things, is really profound. This pain stick is just fantastic. I can't say enough good stuff about it. If you want to learn more about that, maybe you want to try it, go to their website. Pro Bioscience, a Salem-based company, uses only Oregon-grown CBD, which is the highest standard there is, by the way. Pro-Bioscience.com. That's the website. Pro-Bioscience.com. And if you choose to buy something during the month of December, use the discount code, the word Christ, because this is the Christmas month, right? Use the word Christ. Get 15% off. Pro-Bioscience.com. As promised, we now have full lines. We'll start first with Glenn. Glenn, good morning. Your thoughts. Welcome.
Yeah, Jeff, on this whole point, I do have something that's important. Is it true that the legislative branch at the federal and the state level, if they hand off like the authority over health issues in the country to an agency, given the agency a name and money, can they take that back? Or does the actions of the agency, will they override by their dictate of law at the agency, will they override the legislative branch, House and Senate, because the House and Senate gave them that authority?
Good question. And here is my understanding, because I actually encountered this when I served in the House of Representatives. Here's the answer. Nobody knows. At least in Oregon, because that has not been settled in a Supreme Court case in Oregon. You see, well, you would think logically, and this is the logic, Glenn, of the legislative counsel that they gave to me, because I tried to address this and sort of did in a very backhanded way. The first bill I got passed, it was a Kitzhaber signed it. Here's the deal. The legislature gives the authority to executive branch agencies, say the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, Oregon OSHA, whichever, choose them, gives them the authority to write rules that implement the laws that get passed and signed into law. So the legislature gives the rulemaking authority, but then the argument is they cannot come back and the legislature cannot overrule the rules, because now it's a separation of powers issue, because the executive branch agency works for the governor. There's a separation of power. Many of the lawyers that I've talked to have said and made, a good argument, Glenn, that doesn't matter, because if the legislature can grant that authority to a rulemaking executive branch body, they can take it back. But it's never been tried in Oregon, to my knowledge.
Does that help answer? Because of an important issue. If one of the nine on the Supreme Court, they say, well, we issued all of these paper ballots in the mail because people got sick if they came to the polling place. So we changed the law to let them vote by mail. Therefore, we have the right to overrule this action and say, by a protection of the people's health, we mailed these out. Therefore, why would not perhaps one of those justices jump ship and say, you, House and Senate, gave these people that authority, and now it comes back to your governor?
Well, Glenn, it's a fair question. I'm going to let you go because I need to move on. But, it's a fair question. Wouldn't one of those justices out of the five true conservatives, wouldn't one of them accept that argument? That's entirely possible. I hope and pray it doesn't happen, but it's entirely possible that they could use that. It's a very astute observation on your point. Well done. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. A line open. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning. What do you say today?
Good morning, Jeff. Boy, all this stuff is really, really interesting. Of course, the Supreme Court has said, now you guys respond to what they're accusing you to have done, or what this thing has done to them. And they, of course, want their response, because they're looking for a way out, Jeff, just like they were looking for a way out in Pennsylvania. And to punt, because they don't want to rule on this crazy thing, which makes me mad, because, you know, just like Levin said last night, hey, they didn't explain why they said, no, we're not going to hear the Pennsylvania case. They just said, we're not going to hear it, period. No excuse.
Fair observation. I'll address it on the other side of 648.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
How would you like to be the Congresswoman Republican in New York State? Claudia Tenney. She was a congresswoman. She got beat by a Democrat. She ran against that same Democrat. She got beat by a Democrat 2 years ago. She's running against him now. And she had a very small lead. Last week, mysteriously, 55 uncounted ballots were just found. Right now, those votes haven't been counted. And 11 of those votes have been deemed to have been cast by unregistered voters. And then, yesterday, this is New York's 22nd congressional, yesterday, she's only leading the Republican challenger, the Democrat incumbent, by 12 votes. Guess how many votes just showed up, found in a drawer? 12. If you believe that 12 was the lead and they just found 12, how many more votes will they just mysteriously find that gives the Democrat the win? Folks, this is why, this is why the Supreme Court has to rule and just say any votes counted, not received, but counted after midnight are null and void, because they've already said it in 1997 in a 9-0 unanimous Supreme Court ruling. Wow. My goodness. This could also, by the way, work against us in some places. Like, for instance, here in the Denise Bowles race, because she was way behind on election night. And then they kept counting the ballots, and she came very close. We lost by 505 votes. So it can work both ways. But I'm telling you, the Supreme Court has to fix this, folks. If they don't, I want to address something that Art was getting to there in a moment in his comments. But I also want to remind you, if it's cold out and your furnace is not keeping up, your heat pump is not keeping up, you need to fix it. And there's no better company than Freedom Heating and Air. They've been here in Salem a long time, and they can take care of it for you. In fact, they can do it pretty quickly. That thing breaks down on you, and you're cold. Well, give them a call. They have great emergency services. Go check them out on the web, freedomheatingandair.net. That's freedomheatingandair.net. Quick programming note for you that are listening. On Monday, Stacey Ann is going on a long sabbatical, something she's had planned for a very long time. And I am going to be filling in for her. So basically what we're doing is we're going to expand this show for about a month for 3 hours. So I'm going to be broadcasting from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on KSLM starting Monday. So there'll be lots of opportunities for y'all to call in and talk about what you want to talk about as we go through this, because believe me, there's going to be plenty to talk about, including Oregon news, including the idea that, and this is something that is going to happen, Clark County, Washington, right across the river, Vancouver, they declared that racism is a public health crisis. Now, two of the conservative county Clark County Council members were not part of the vote, were absent. So if you can call a nebulous, undefined issue called racism, if you can call it a public health crisis, which is ludicrous if you think about it, if you can call it a public health crisis because of coronavirus, and that you're accusing racist activities as leading to that, because it disproportionately apparently affects people of color. If you can say that racism is the base of that and declare a public health crisis, why can't you make that argument for the Second Amendment? Look at all the numbers of Latinos and blacks being killed and being used in gun violence and gang activity. It's racist. It's a public health crisis. We're going to have to suspend your constitutional rights. We're going to have to suspend the constitutional rights of the legislature for quorum because we have a public health crisis. And the governor can stretch the definition of that as far as she wants to stretch it. And we can do anything. Kate can do anything she wants. Because everything now is a public health crisis. Better pray, better be active, folks. Somebody else who prays is a contractor by the name of Eric Azer at Righteous Renovations. He's a man of faith, and he lives it in his, well, in his company, in how he treats his customers. That's why he, well, establishes a pretty high bar for himself by putting the word righteous in the name of his company, Righteous Renovations. Check him out on the web, righteousrenovations.com. You can't always trust contractors out there, sadly. There's a lot of great ones, but every now and then you get a bad one, and unfortunately, they make a really bad impact out there in the contracting world. You don't have to worry about that with Eric Azer. Look at the great testimonials from very satisfied customers on his website, righteousrenovations.com. Oh, and we didn't even get into the Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell, who apparently has had the Chinese spy working with him. May have slept with him, as she apparently has slept with some mayors around, and who apparently this Chinese spy had people, well, interns in his office. He ran for president, remember? He was always on the news in the House Intel Committee. He may have been sleeping, even though he's married with young children, with a Chinese spy. By the way, how long did Pelosi or Adam Schiff know that a Chinese spy was having very intimate relations with Eric Swalwell on the Intel Committee? Lots to talk about, folks. Believe me, there, look for some amazing things to happen today and tomorrow, because I think they will. And keep praying, keep believing, stay active, don't give up. Stacey Ann's up next. Good morning, Salem. See you tomorrow, folks. Oh,